Chanukah is associated with the word chinuch. Chinuch means education, and the holiday of Chanukah celebrates the renewal, the beginning, the new beginning of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual service in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as of the Mizbeach, of the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, and of the menorah, of lighting the candles inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So given this intimate relationship between Chanukah and Chinuch, we'll see that there's, from the details of the Chanukah miracle, the Chanukah story, we can learn lessons for Jewish education in all times. The primary miracle of Chanukah, the miracle at least that we primarily celebrate in the holiday, is the miraculous finding of this flask of olive oil, that the Jewish people found one small flask of pure olive oil, and with that they lit the menorah. The Rebbe asks, what's the big deal about finding this one flask of olive oil? According to Halacha, there's a rule that Tuma Hutra or Dechuya B'tzibur, which means that if the entire Jewish population is Tamei, or at least the majority of the Jewish population is Tamei, they're in a state of ritual impurity, then it's permissible for us to go ahead and do the various worships, the various acts of service that we would do in the Beis HaMikdash, even though they generally need to be done in a state of purity. If the majority of the Jewish people are in a state of impurity, it's okay to do these acts of service in the Beis HaMikdash. Why then, asked the Rebbe, is it such a big deal that we found this one flask of olive oil? The Rebbe answers that beginnings are very important. Beginnings are critical. And the lesson was that we wanted the Beis HaMikdash's service to begin to start out on the right foot, because that would set the tone for the entire rest of the Beis HaMikdash's history. The Rebbe explains that Jewish education is actually quite similar. He compares Jewish education to a tree, as the Pasuk in Devarim tells us, Ha'adam et ha'sadeh, a person is compared to a tree. So the Rebbe says, if you have a tree which is fully grown, and you scratch the tree, the scratch, the etching that you make in the tree will remain in its trunk, but it won't irrevocably hurt the entire tree. It'll only be a localized scratch in that part of the tree. However, says the Rebbe, if you make the same scratch in the seed of the tree before the tree is planted, it's quite possible that the entire tree will become a crippled tree. In a similar fashion, says the Rebbe, the way we educate our children is incredibly critical. If we educate them with a warm, robust, strong, uncompromising Judaism, then we can be pretty sure that our children will grow up to be robust Jews. They'll be robust in their Judaism. They'll have a very, very powerful Judaism, a connected Judaism. However, if we raise our children in such a way that their Judaism is more assimilationist, it's more lukewarm, with a lot of compromises, it's, first of all, their Judaism is going to be a much less robust Judaism. It's going to be much less alive. But not only that, it's possible they might leave the path of Judaism altogether. So the Rebbe says, we have to understand that we're in a certain state of war. We're at a war against assimilation. We're standing in a time of a war for the survival of the Jewish people. And as such, it's critical to radiate a uncompromising Judaism in all areas of life, and particularly in the area of Jewish education. The Rebbe says, you might not think that the detail is so important. It might not be so important to give over every last detail of Yiddishkeit to our kids. We can offer them a more pleasant, watered-down, Americanized Judaism. But the Rebbe says, if you look at the enemy, the ideological enemy of the Jewish people, and there are many ideological enemies at the time, but you look at the massive purveyors of ideology in the 20th century, you'd see that they would spend every last monetary and human resource on achieving their goals. Consider the Holocaust, where the German government diverted the equivalent of millions of dollars and manpower to killing more Jews, even when it didn't make sense in terms of achieving their other objective of winning the war. Or if you look at communist Russia, look at how the communist government, particularly under Stalin, killed so many Russians in the name of communist ideology, even when it didn't seem to make sense, all things considered, for the health of the country. So we see, says the Rebbe, if the enemy is willing to go to such great lengths in order to achieve its agendas, it's willing to spend any amount of money or any human resource in order to achieve its ideological agenda, we too need to realize that we're at a critical time in history, and we need to spend every last resource on making sure we have uncompromising Jewish education and not to compromise on our ideology. The Rebbe calls our attention to the progress, the genealogy of American Jewish history. And he says, if you look at the various rabbinical schools, the various movements that existed within American Judaism throughout the late 1800s and the early 1900s, those who thought they would offer a compromising Judaism, a more humanistic, more relevant, more Americanized Judaism, and they thought that by offering such Judaism, they would bring more Jews into their camp, he says, you see that the historical outcome was that not so many more secularized Jews were attracted to them. Most of those Jews just continued to assimilate. And even those Jews who were parts of the camp, which chose a more assimilationist attitude, ultimately their members began to fall off as well. However, says the Rebbe, if you look at those who took a more robust, hard-line approach to their Judaism, their members ultimately remained within their ranks, and they even attracted other Jews to come and join them. So this is a pretty strong argument in favor of an uncompromising Jewish education, and more broadly, an uncompromising Jewish attitude. Finally, the Rebbe notes, everybody's contribution makes a difference. It makes a difference, A, that there are people who are willing to teach Judaism in an uncompromising way. It's important that we have such institutions and that people work in such institutions and people donate such institutions and that people verbally support such institutions. Because in the Kulturkampf, in the battle of hearts and minds, very often this battle of hearts and minds happens around Shabbos tables, it happens on street corners, it happens in the public discourse, in conversation. And the more people who are behind an uncompromising Jewish education, the more likely it is the battle of public opinion will be won, and we'll be able to create a robust Judaism. And through this robust Judaism, says the Rebbe, we'll be able to create a mikdash, we'll be able to create a sanctuary within our own hearts, within our own communities, and ultimately that sanctuary will manifest on the global stage, and we'll be able to not only have our own homes be a place of holiness, but we'll be able to take the proverbial Hanukkah candle, the proverbial menorah, and illuminate every aspect of reality.